Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 284, the Lego Crazy Edition, or Let's Go Crazy if you really want to say it that way. We have a great episode lined up for you today. As promised on the previous episode, this is a Legogeddon edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. I just didn't really know how to spell Legogeddon without getting all kinds of lovely red squiggles all over everything. So this Lego Crazy is kind of a little bit different. If you haven't gotten the drift so far, I've been getting so many different emails with different Lego stories and different Lego stuff, and I'm so pumped up about them in general that I decided to kind of collect all the ones from the past week or so and kind of make an episode primarily out of them. So if you don't like Lego stories, there are just roughly half of the stories tonight are Legos, and you can tell that by today's what you're going to hear about on today's show is going to be about any and all of the following topics: writing, Lego, Star Wars, Lego, coffee, tea, Lego love, and Legos and logos. So it's a little bit of a alliteration there, but overall, you kind of get the drift here. There's a lot of great information on today's show, and the Caffeination Podcast, which is, of course, lovingly hosted over at www.caffination.com, and we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's Blubrry. All right, well, we have been talking for just a little bit about the logo here that we've been using at the Caffeination Podcast. If you look at the show notes for any of the past two or three episodes, you've seen a interesting little blue square with a light blue coffee beam with a little RSS radio waves coming out of it. I think for the most part, what we're going to do is we're going to move that over to being the actual logo of the Caffeination. I'm going to keep the mug with the sound wave or the waveform in it on the website. I love that. It was probably one of the initial things that I had for the actual show. So that's going to stay there. But I think we're going to move over to a much more simple and vector form logo, not Lego. It's on the brain, man. And tonight's also a little bit of a bittersweet episode because I am right now sitting on a office chair that I purchased in my first year of college. When I was recording the last show, I leaned to the left and felt a little bit weird, and the chair as it was fell in half. I bent it back up, but realized I've had this chair for quite some time now, over a decade, and yeah, the welds are broken off, but a tiny little lip of metal that's actually sitting on the bottom. So this is the last hurrah, as it would be, for this chair. It's going out in the trash as of Monday night. So this is the last time I'm going to be riding the old girl into the sunset on an episode. I have to actually break it so that nobody, you know, break it completely, that is, so that nobody actually picks it up, takes it home, and their grandmother sits on it or something like that. It's just the kind of thing that would happen to me. It's my luck. Just wanted to talk to you a little bit about today about our sponsor. If you have to travel for business, I have great news. There is an easier and more affordable way to do so. GoToMeeting, the award-winning service that lets you hold meetings over the internet with people in multiple locations. All you need to do is log on to GoToMeeting.com and start meetings with a click. Instantly, everyone sees your computer desktop on all of their monitors. It's like you're meeting in person, which with less expenses and much less time consuming. Meet from your office, your home, your hotel room, anytime, anywhere. Plus, you can hold as many meetings as you want for one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. Do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of fun stuff and give us the content, or they allow us to give you the content as we are currently doing. like I said, this is going to be a little bit of a Lego-laden edition, if you will, but we did want to start off with something that's a little bit un-Lego-related. I told you I was going to put the link up, but I didn't want to modify the show notes too soon. But what I've done is I've actually recorded as of last Wednesday, directly after the previous episode, 283. I recorded at paulrmuller.com. If you head on over there, you'll find a draft of the first chapter of my NaNoWriMo book, National Novel Writing Month. It's the draft edition because I consider the first draft when I wrote it. The second draft is going to be the audio version because I catch a lot of the misspellings. I catch a lot of the just ungrammatically sound stuff. And then from feedback from you, the loyal listeners of the Caffeination Podcast, and other people who might happen upon it after the fact, I'm hoping to make the book that much better for afterwards so that, you know, no matter what happens, I'll be able to go back and have a little bit of feedback, just a little bit, or if, you know, there's a metric ton of it, you know, I might be able to modify things. But what I'm going to be doing is releasing one chapter a week. So I have a link up to the first chapter. It's only 8 minutes long, and it's just me speaking. I've had people request to say, hey, do you want a guest person to help you do this? I would love to do it, but at this point in time, I am incredibly embarrassed about the state of the manuscript, as it were. So, with that being the case, and the fact that I really don't want to edit it before I send it to you, I'm just going to hold off and thank you very much for your interest at this point, but we're going to do it kind of the way I have it set up until I find something different, if there's a different way of going about it. I've had a lot of interesting feedback on the fact that I'm doing the audio book before the book's actually finished, so we're going to see exactly how this works out. I have a good idea where the story's going, so we'll see as the story progresses how this actually works. I could fall on my face, but you know what? It's going to be a fun journey. I'd like just to enjoin you to join me, you know what I mean? All right, up first in the TechCruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about Legos, coincidentally enough, and this is, of course, going to be historical figures done in Lego form. Now, everybody's seen the Minfig, which is the tiny little Lego man. It's the iconic figure of Lego people. They're very much of a set form factor. However, you can paint different faces on them, you can paint different clothes on them, and there's different hair accessories and other things that have been on there, and they've been known to have different objects in their hands. So it's kind of an interesting form factor to play with in an artistic sense. There's a great, great article over at wackyarchives.com, which I've linked up, that has the following. I'm going to try and run down the list. It's a rather extensive list of people from all different kinds of areas, and then I'll tell you my favorites at the end. They have Michael Jackson, Che Guevara, they have Ernest Hemingway, Mahatma Gandhi, Archimedes, Ben Franklin, Abe Lincoln, Fidel Castro, Norm Abram, Steve Irwin, Martin Luther King Jr., Shakara. They also have Mark Twain, Leonardo da Vinci, Prince, or the artist formerly known as Prince, or the Minfig, as they said, formerly known as, Noah. They also have Hercules, John Lennon, Nelson Mandela, Elvis Presley, Pele, the soccer player, Bruce Lee, Donald Trump, Napoleon, Michelangelo, and the David, which was kind of an interesting one, George W. Bush, Mao Zedong, and Vasco da Gama. So they have a rather extensive list. Some of them are really, really, really good. For instance, I like the Prince one because it has a little bit of a smirk on it. The Noah one, I just like Lego beards. I think they're pretty cool. The one of the more noteworthy ones is the fact that Bill Clinton is a minfig without pants. they have other stuff like they have the picture of Martin Luther King Jr. actually in black and white, so it looks a lot of the old time photos. They went rather interesting on some of the faces that they painted on people. For instance, Abraham Lincoln looks like he could throw down, and Ben Franklin looks incredibly nice. So it's fun to see how they played with it, and I just wanted to pass it along because as this is the Lego edition, I felt it was my duty. And the funny thing is, this is from the same guys who did the great moments in history that we talked about a while ago in Lego history. So they have the gentleman standing in front of the tanks at Tiananmen Square. They have a whole bunch of other different ones, and that's actually linked through that article, so you can see that as well. All right, up next, I think we may have covered this at one point in time, but I don't think it was finished. This is a recreation of an aircraft carrier to scale. This is the USS Harry Truman, a 350-pound Lego aircraft carrier that is made up of over 200,000 bricks. They actually have pictures of this thing on display. They have tiny little Lego aircrafts. They have working elevators. Everything is done in detail, in brick detail, as it was. So, and the best part about it is the gentleman who made it actually sealed the bottom of the ship so that the thing can float. Because if you really made it out of Legos, there would actually be tiny little microscopic holes in between each brick. I don't know how you would actually create the point as it was, but it's done, it's beautiful, and it's really a testament to, I would say, perseverance more than anything, because I've done larger models, but I've never done anything even like a third, a fifth, a sixteenth of the size of this thing. I thought it was cool when I put two of the giant baseboards together. So this is kind of a study in awesomeness in and of itself, so I just wanted to pass it along because I thought it was pretty cool. All right, up next we have Lego security bracelets for kids. This is kind of an interesting little take. It's a GPS tracking system for your children. So you can it has a whole bunch of different little games that you can play on it. It has a tiny little minfig character. It's really interesting. This was actually sent in by Norbert Davis over at Totally Cool Tech. So this is a totally cool link. There's actually a couple of these. Norbert is a huge Lego maniac, much like myself. I actually need to get a decent amount of Legos because I don't think I have very many at all at home anymore. But I'm kind of waiting until my son just gets just a little bit older because they're a choking hazard at this point. So we have the Mega Bloks, which are not nearly as cool, but Legos are on the horizon. I got to wait until I think he's over 3 for it to be legal as per the box, but you know, depending on what it is. But right now he's still putting crayons in his mouth, so we're going to hold off. So you know, it's just a really cool idea to see the Lego security bracelet. Then I have another thing that's not necessarily Lego related, but it is awesome in and of itself. It's from over at theslipperybrick.com, which is a great, great Lego name for something. An LED bath light that does it all. If you've ever seen one of those click lights that they sell in infomercials that you're supposed to put in your closet that are actually really nastily made, they're horrible, they don't actually work, they don't stay on the wall, they don't do anything like they do in the actual show, which is kind of funny when you really think about it. But this LED bath light does a whole lot for not a large form factor. It actually changes color. It's capable of actually measuring the temperature of the water, so that you're not going to be surprised when you get into the thing. Has several different modes on it, so it's cool, or a concept at this point, but it can be used as a flashlight, high intensity. It can be used as a candle, so it's low intensity without the fear of flamage, and it can also be used as kind of like a little party light, so it can actually pulse to sound and stuff like that, which I thought was really cool. But there's also interesting little things. Like I personally really like the temperature sensor on it, because this is the kind of thing where you could put it in the bath with the kid or something like that, and they'd be like, oh wow, this is really cool, there's a little light in here. But if you see it to start to creep one way or another, you wouldn't, you know, you'd be able to actually step in at the proper time. I'm like terrified of actually you know, burning or even like getting a little bit too warm with the water, so I'm constantly checking it. But this would be an interesting little way for, you know, to see if the water gets too cold, because that's one of the things that you don't always think about unless the kid's lips are turning blue and he's chattering. So I mean, there's different areas, but this is kind of an interesting little gadget in and of itself. All right, moving on, yet another story from theslipperybrick.com, which proved to be fertile ground and definitely going into the news sources, so you're going to be seeing this one a lot more in the future. But this is an amazing Lego Ferrari F1. Yes, that's right. Somebody somehow managed to create a model of an F1 racer, the same kind of things that the Michael Schumacher drives and stuff like that, where it's actually entirely made out of Legos, I think, except for the tires. And the best part about it is that they actually have giant Lego minifigs. I think the Lego minifigs are actually created out of tiny little Lego blocks, so it's kind of a fractal of Legos, so to speak. And you can actually drive it, which is even better. So they show you the gentleman who actually created it, actually driving it. And his name is Leon, something unpronounceable to me. I'm sorry, Leon, but it's just awesome in and of itself, so I wanted to pass it along. Moving right along, we have Lego radar rings. These are the tiny little pieces of equipment that were actually pulled out of like a Lego space set. This is another totally cool link. But they're being sold on Etsy as rings because they have resizable silver bands. I wouldn't be able to wear these just for the fact that, you know, not for the fact that they're gaudy or something like that, because who cares? It's a Lego in your hand. It's just cool in and of itself. But no, My body is such that if I wear fake jewelry, if I wear stuff that has like chromed on it or something like that, I like eat away the covering and turn everything green in relatively short order. So this probably wouldn't be the best purchase for me, even though it's only $5. I might buy it and put it on something else, but it just looks really cool, so I wanted to pass it along. Moving right along, beyond that, how would you? Well, all right, we already have the Lego car, the giant Lego car. We have the giant Lego aircraft carrier. We have the giant Lego people that we've talked about on the last show or two shows ago. Now, how would you like a Lego coffee table? I think this would actually be a little bit better as a work desk, and if somebody could make me a Lego work desk to actually record the caffeination on, I think that would be the perfect representation of fractal existence, so I could record a show where I mention Legos on a desk made of Legos. I don't even know. But I really liked it. It's basically another proof of concept thing. The entire top of it is not Lego. It's all MDF up top, which is just a thick, dense particulate board basically soaked in glue. It's really kind of nasty to cut, and it's actually very dangerous to breathe the sawdust for this stuff. However, putting that beyond it, everything else is crafted out of Lego geometry. geometry in certain aspects, and on the other end, it's kind of a pixelated version of what you would imagine a coffee table to be. So it's really cool. It's a Lego style. I don't really know if they actually used Lego bricks and then painted them all. They have a very glossy ebony, but you know, it's really cool nonetheless. Up next, we have kind of the Lego spirit. One of the reasons that I really enjoy talking about Legos is that I think they kind of capture the gestalt of geek thinking, the do-it-yourself thinking, because they are truly a very simplistic creation that allows you to make almost anything on the planet. With the advent of the Mindstorm kits that actually put a brain inside Legos, of all things, that you've really been able to create almost anything, create gadgets that are self-replicating. They actually had a Lego factory that built other Lego cars and things like that at one point. But I mean, this is similar, but it doesn't involve Legos. It's a do-it-yourself construct an artsy wall clock from spare hard drive parts tells all. That's the title. It's completely ungrammatically or grammar correct. I don't even know how that's actually supposed to be said. It is completely wrong from a grammatical standpoint. That's how we're going to go with it. But it's really awesome. I've often thought that the perfect thing to create a wall clock for would be a hard drive. Just to somehow drill through the center of the spindle and actually use the hard drive itself as just a mirror finished backdrop, so that you could actually have, you know, the second hands and everything that works of the clock would extend through. This takes it beyond that, and it actually uses gears and spindles and different pieces of the actual hard drives. I don't even know how many hard drives that it would take, but it's really kind of interesting to see exactly how it's put together. But it's from over at Instructables, but the story originally is linked from Engadget, so I gave you the link to Engadget first. All right, moving up next is a little bit of a one-off from over at mopo.ca. They had this really, really well-done graphic interpretation up on their site, so I kind of wanted to pass it along to you. They called it Ye Old Google. Now, you're going to have to click on the image to make it bigger, to embiggen it. But it's basically a piece of parchment with a stamp on the or a wax seal on the top side that says Tis Beta. And on the left-hand top side, I'm going to run down the settings. They took the idea of a Google homepage and how very simple it was, and they kind of regressed it, I guess is the easiest way to say, back to what it would have looked like in olden times, but I don't even know. It doesn't work because it's a search engine, but it's awesome nonetheless. So they, of course, have the giant G. I don't even know what the artistic letters are called that are usually done in lithograph form, but that's, and everything else is the same, except if you were really going to do it in old school, everything would be black and white. So they have Ye Web, paintings, town crier, maps, and a Ye Post up at the top instead of web, images, news, maps, and blogger. Then they have Google search it for with an E in the end. They have Methinks Fortune Smileth Upon Me instead of the feeling lucky thing. They have new Google Earth Flat, which is just awesome. The advanced search, Ye Settings for Ye Divers Tongues for the translation settings, patronage programs, mercantile affairs, and about Google. It's just really, really interesting to see how they did it. I kind of love the aesthetic that they created for that, and I think that would be a great little inclusion into a steampunk storyline somehow. Somebody needs to work that in there. My novel has nothing to do with steampunk, but if it did, I would work that in there somehow just because it's so awesome. All right, moving right along, yet another story where we're talking about fish tanks. I don't know what it is, but there's certain different areas that geeks all seem to focus on. Everybody seems to like Legos, which is why you get a show like this. Everybody seems to like fish tanks. Everybody likes toasters. Everybody likes robots and monkeys and a whole bunch of other different strange and transient topics. But they all seem to get together. But this is two of them in one. This is not only a fish tank, but it also involves a robot. And third one, it also involves a little bit of a geek love, because it's R2-D2 as a fish tank. Yes, you heard me correct. This is an officially licensed fish tank made out of the body of R2-D2. So it's tilted off to the side. The fish aren't going to notice because, you know, the water level is just going to be a little bit cockeyed. But what they've gone one step further for this, it's a fully acrylic circular fish tank. I don't know how many gallons it is. That's what I actually missed. Oh, it's a 1 3/4 gallon. So it's a small little guy. Although they show three fish of significant size in there, they're probably overpopulating that tank, just letting you know. Either that or they shrunk the fish down, because that's just not how it works. What you can do is actually look inside R2-D2's eye and see down into a periscope to actually give you a little bit of a viewport inside the actual middle of the fish tank, which I just think is awesome. I think there should be a way that you can turn some of the knobs or something and actually operate the periscope as it heads down. I don't know if the workings or something like that would contaminate the fish tank. And I'd also like to see a little bit larger of a size of this, because one and a third gallons of a fish tank is enough for maybe two fish of decent size. I have a 10-gallon fish tank, and I have one Placo, two goldfish, and a tiny catfish, and that's pretty much running right up against the limit of what I could do in that fish tank. And the other thing is the cost on this is absolutely prohibitive. It's $129.95. It's $130 for less than a two-gallon fish tank. Yes, it's awesome because you have R2-D2, but at the same point in time, it's just way too expensive for anything. All right, keeping inside the Star Wars regalia for just a minute here is the last story for the TechCruft section of the Caffeination Podcast. It kind of rolls up here. We have a little video link from over at YouTube, and it needs a little bit of explanation. The title is Star Wars, an Acapella Tribute to John Williams. John Williams is the composer, for those of you who don't know, who did the theme song for such movies, such iconic movies as E.T., Jaws, Raiders of the Lost Ark, all the Indiana Jones ones, actually. He also did all the Star Wars ones. What this gentleman named Corey Vidal did was actually record himself in singing four different parts of the a cappella version of an original song he wrote. So all of that put together is to the tune of different theme songs that John Williams wrote. So it's a compilation of all of them. You need to watch this video with sound. It is unbelievable. But here's just the beginning of it. And there's four different people and four different t-shirts actually singing it. I have no clue how he managed to put it all together, but it's really, really, really well done. So what I'm going to try and do right here is actually play you a little bit of it, and you can kind of imagine it, but you really need to go watch the video. It's really awesome.
You must use the force. You must use the force. You must use the force.
Now, if you didn't know what that was Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And if you move it right along, you have Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark right here. Let's see if this one comes.
This is annoying. This is spaceships, it's monsters, it's Star Wars, we love it, come and help me. Obi-Wan, X-Wing fighter, and a blaster gun, dance with Ewoks, oh what fun. This is spaceships, it's monsters, it's Star Wars, we love it. Get in there, you big furry.
And here's Superman, 1978.
I couldn't care less what you smell. I take orders from only me. Maybe you'd like it back in your cell, Your Highness. Your Worshipfulness, Your Highness.
See, I could listen to the whole thing, but that's not the point of the podcast. It's really unbelievably well done. Choreographed, anything you want to say about it. It's just smooth is the easiest way to say. So again, Corey Vidal, look for Star Wars John Williams tribute if you're heading on over to YouTube to check that out, but it's really brilliant. So, I mean, I'm going to stop talking about it now, but you kind of get the drift. All right, moving right along. That about wraps it up for the TechCruft section of the Caffeination Podcast. And, you would think that would be done for the Star Wars references, and then you would also think that would be done for the Lego references. However, we have not even begun to reference obtuse cultural icons. And the first thing that we have up for you here, but before we get on into that, just want to remind you, you are, of course, listening to the Caffeination Podcast. This episode and all the other ones, just like it, except with different stuff, better content, more animated hosts, possibly, are all over at www.caffeination.com. That's CaffeinationIon. Caffeination is caffeination. So, all right, beyond that, if you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, or whatever else you'd like to do on today's show or any of the other shows that are up there, please feel free to send it all to caffeination@gmail.com. All right, so up first we have Vader Toaster. Start your morning off on the dark side. I wanted to find a better quote. I wanted to find a better pun, but I just couldn't. There was nothing I could come out with to beat that. It's a black toaster that it has Star Wars logo emblazoned on it, and whenever you toast anything, it burns Vader's visage, the iconic helmet, into the center of your toast. I don't know what it is, but there's been a lot of Star Wars stuff floating around recently. I have a game on the Xbox called Soul Calibur 4. It's a fighting game, and one of the playable characters is Yoda on the Xbox, and it is Darth Vader on the PS3. I don't have a PS3, so I wasn't able to play with Vader. Vader was recently released, so I was able to download him and play Yoda versus Vader, and it was fantastic. Now I can have Vader as my toast, so it's kind of interesting and cool. So I just wanted to pass that along to you. $50 for a toaster, little much, but then again, how much does your toaster burn interesting shapes in there? Not much, probably. All right, over at singleservecoffee.com, there is an insanely good story. It is how to make coffee with Legos. It is a Lego robot that makes coffee. That is all this thing is designed to do. I don't think it actually puts the water in there, but it actually maneuvers all the buttons and everything. It's a completely mobile solution. And the best part about it was that it was actually done with the Mindstorm kit by two kids. So there's not a whole lot of information on it, but all you need to know is that somebody found a way to automate some process of making coffee through Legos. The only thing is, I don't think it's entirely Legos. I think they actually used Kinex, which is even cooler, to build some of the framework. So I think it's not a complete and utterly perfect Lego implementation. They could have done it. It looks like they just took a little bit of a shortcut there, but you know what? It's brilliant nonetheless. Moving right along, you have yet another totally cool link. This one is and interesting, it's called Snack and Stack Utensils. Where you don't have Legos, you have knockoffs of Legos of the iconic block and brick structure. Now imagine a fork, a spoon, and a knife. Instead of the old school Boy Scout way of doing it where they had them all flat packed together through knobs that were on the spoon, and you could always, there were holes in the knife and the fork, and if you put them together in the correct thing and slid them off into the notch, they actually locked together and you had all three utensils with one little package. This is a different take on that idea. It's actually using the Lego structure to actually bind the tools together. It's just plastic handles on the forks. The only thing that would be better, I can't tell whether or not it's actually a spork, but if it was, that makes it even cooler. So there is an actual spoon. There's an actual butter knife-like object. And for $17, you too can get your own. Or you could just spend $3 and get the Boy Scout one. All right, up yet again, we have another Mindstorm implementation called Auto Coffee. Now, this has an interesting little story associated with it. It's basically not coffee. It's designed for the single-serve coffee things, and this has a touch panel associated with it. So it's kind of like the Senseo brands of things. It's not something that I really like. I don't like the price point for the coffee on them, and I don't like the single-use idea of the actual pieces of equipment. I don't know. Nobody's ever actually sold this to me as a really good replacement for an espresso machine, and nobody sold it to me as a good replacement for a coffee machine. So it's somewhere in between, and I know people who swear by it, but it's just not something, such as Adam Curry from the Daily Source Code. It's just not something I've ever bought into. I like being able to buy whatever coffee I want. I don't need to be able to create, I don't have to find a way to create my own pods, and I know there's all kinds of different options to do that, but, finding the coffee is hard enough. Finding the coffee in a specific form factor is a little bit beyond me. So this is yet another one, and the funny thing is they actually made two different versions of the program that run this. The second version allows you to control the coffee maker with Bluetooth on your phone. It will actually send a message to your phone to tell you the coffee's done. Or it tells you you didn't place a cup or anything else like that. It's brilliant. Not everything actually does it soup to nuts, complete coffee creation. I'd like an actual Lego Mindstorm kit to grow the coffee, harvest it, roast it to perfection, actually, then move it down the production line, actually get the coffee cup out of my cupboard, wake me up with the scent of a lovely, fresh roasted beaten cup in downstairs, and I'd be perfectly fine. But, the different pieces of automation are incredibly nice when they come out. All right, up next, a little story about the U.S. Patent Office. Yet another winner here. Now, the way I understand this story is that Folgers has a patent on putting coffee into a plastic container to sell it. You heard me correctly. Apparently, Folgers is claiming a patent, and it's actually been upheld for using a derivative of Tupperware, basically, to house the coffee, as opposed to the iconic can, you know, the metal can, which I have a ton of in the garage, because I can't really bring myself to throw them out. They just have a utilitarian look and use to them. You know, I have nuts and bolts and all other kinds of crazy stuff in there. I'm actually going to need to find a way to build some kind of a shelving system out of them. And they make really good craft supplies, but that's neither here nor there. Well, the Maxwell House people actually said, you know what, plastic's a really good idea, and it's a little bit more environmentally friendly, because people can reuse them, people can recycle them, and it's a little bit easier to recycle, I guess, plastic than steel. So, we're going to do that too. They actually filed a patent lawsuit on this against Kraft Foods, saying that Kraft's Maxwell House plastic container infringed on P&G or Procter & Gamble's patent. It's ridiculous. The way I'm reading this, and I'm probably wrong in here, is that somehow Folgers got a patent on using an existing style of plastic container to just put coffee into. That's the only way that I can read it. If somebody else has a different interpretation or they know more, please feel free to send it, and I will gladly correct myself in the next episode. But this is a complete example of patent law run amok. Because you know what? Somebody out there might think of putting tea in there, and then maybe Folgers could sue them too. All right, up next from over at Slippery Brick, again, we have a harmonica kettle plays music. This is a kettle that, when you boil, actually creates a multi-tone sound out of the whistle instead of having one hole that actually creates a single tone. When my wife and I were getting married, and we were planning to get married, we were actually looking through to reserve different patterns. You know, we have the old country rose pattern of China, and there was different kinds of tea kettles. So we have the one teapot that comes with the set, and then we also had a tea kettle to actually boil the water in that actually came with the set as well. So the thing that we didn't know about it was a multi-toned tea kettle. So when you sit it on the stove and it actually plays, because it's really what it does, it sounds like a train engine, a train whistle coming through, like really low, because it starts out really low. It's not just like the standard tea kettle, which has a really high-pitched whistle. It's actually more of a throaty roar. It's really kind of enjoyable, and if I get a chance, I'm going to record it. I'm going to take the little Zoom H4 up there and actually record it. I meant to do it for the Today Show, but by the time I got around to it, it's very loud. By the time I got around to it, it was kind of a little bit of a late addition here. I don't know if this will actually play a different tune or anything, or if it just plays a series of notes in harmony, but $265 is an insane amount, because something tells me that the tea kettle that we have was around $50, and that was only because it had the floral pattern on the side that matched all the china that we were looking for. So beyond that, I'd say $265 versus whatever our tea kettle was is a significant price drop, so I'd probably go for the Macy's variety if you like the multi-tonal. But then again, I could be wrong, and it could play, you know, God Save the Queen or something. I don't even know. All right, moving right along. Yet another Lego story. You heard it here first. Another Lego Mindstorm thing on how to create tea, or how to make tea as it is. This can make tea in 3 minutes. It has three parts. There's one tea hanger that actually hangs the bag into the actual cup. There's a mixer and a sugar dispenser. This is a fantastic idea. This is more of a soup to nuts solution for anything that I've seen out of any of the other coffee things. And the coffee people should be absolutely ashamed. While I enjoy tea, I think coffee, for me, is the superior beverage of choice. I do enjoy tea. I do enjoy herbal tea. So it's an interesting different take on it, but this is a beautiful contraption. You really have to head on over to the link to actually appreciate it, but it is a much more full-bodied solution to the problem of how to create a Lego kit to manage your tea. All right, and then we have two little things before we send you out on your way here. This is a interesting little thing called Pocket Coffee. I don't know where I found this, where somebody might have sent it in, but it's an interesting little confection that purports to have a shot of espresso in the center of a chocolate truffle. That's the only way I can see. And they're saying it basically has a very little bit of an artificial taste. And it's something where I love the idea. I like the idea of confections actually containing coffee or espresso or something like that. Even if it's a liqueur or something like that, I think it's a really good pairing. In fact, I've actually started eating chocolate again because of the espresso machine, because one of my friends online actually said, you know, I really love good dark chocolate along with a cup of espresso. And you know, I tried it the one time and I've gotten so addicted to it that I'll even take medium grade milk chocolate and pair it with the espresso. And it's probably not a good habit to keep up, but it's such a well-placed pairing that I can't get beyond it. But I'm really kind of interested in this pocket coffee idea. I think it's an interesting packaging concept because they actually have a cracked open truffle pouring what appears to be real coffee into a coffee cup. So you can kind of get the idea. It's a very, very visually cohesive label, and I compliment them on that. Then the last little thing that we have for you here today on the Caffeination is an interesting little design concept, and there's two different designs that they actually have here, but this is a temperature-aware coffee cup, and this is something that I would love to have. Now, this is completely off the beaten path here. This is it's somebody's WordPress blog, so it's really kind of just an idea. It's still in concept, and I would love to see it in practice. It's a plain white coffee mug with two different indicators on them. One of them is a level indicator, and another of which is a temperature indicator. So it actually shows you, much like a sticker that you would see on an old school fish tank, exactly where it is for anywhere from, I think, like 0 degrees up to 100, so I'm pretty sure it's using the Celsius. And then there's a ring around the level of where the coffee is currently sitting, or whatever beverage else is in there is currently sitting. It moves up and down, and actually changes tone with the temperature of it. So it's really interesting in that sense. Then they have an interesting derivation of that, where it's a clear glass where the only determination of the actual temperature of the liquid is a red or blue ring at the bottom of the glass. I don't know how this would be powered, but you know what? It's really beautiful, and I would love to see something like this actually come out. So if anybody ever sees anything like this, please let me know, because I would definitely save up for one of them. I just think it's really cool. All right, and then the last little thing that we have for you here. If you remembered, I talked about the USB watch that I had that I got for participating in one of the weddings I was in recently for Marianne and Dave, and when they went to Hawaii on their honeymoon, they lovingly brought back a bag of Kona coffee for me, and I have not yet dipped into it, but it's an estate-grown Kona coffee. They were actually at the estate, and I've had a couple other people actually tip me off to different places to go to get Kona coffee, so I've never tried it before. I'm going to enjoy it, so I want to kind of savor it and make sure everything's all clean. I'm going to have a small pot of it, and I'm also going to have a version of the Kona coffee. I'm going to actually make espresso out of it at the same point in time, so I'll report back whenever it gets done, but it's probably going to be before Wednesday. It's probably going to be tomorrow, but I want to take the time to do it right, you know. So I'm going to make sure all the equipment's clean and it's a good crisp taste to it, so that's about that. Well, and that brings us to the end of the Caffeination podcast for you today. Just a little bit longer than standard, but I'd like to thank everybody for sticking around. This has been Caffeination number 284, the Lego edition, Lego crazy edition, rather. So we went crazy. I hope you enjoyed it. If this and all the other episodes are located over at www.caffination.com. I've been Paul Muller, still am Paul Muller. I am your host. Hopefully you enjoyed our content today. Thank you so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.